The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Let me ask you, as a person, do you have a general belief?
As a person, I have a general belief that racism is abhorrent.
That racism is what?
Abhorrent.
Well, I think I think we would all agree with that.
Morning glory, America. Bonjour, hi, Canada. Hugh Hewitt inside the Beltway. That was Dianne Feinstein and Judge Amy Coney Barrett saying abhorrent. Judge Coney Barrett is amazing. She's remarkable. She's riveting. Whether you're listening, whether you're watching, you're saying to yourself, I want that judge on the Supreme Court. And I believe Democrats are coming to that conclusion as well, that there's nothing they can do because she's absolutely sparkling, brilliant. Here she is stating the key thing, the Ginsburg rule, named for the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, whom Judge Amy Coney Barrett will replace. Cut number 10.
Senator Feinstein, as I said to Senator Graham at the outset, if I were confirmed, you would be getting Justice Barrett, not Justice Scalia. So I don't think that anybody should assume that just because Justice Scalia decided a decision a certain way that I would, too. But I'm not going to express a view on whether I agree or disagree with Justice Scalia for the same reasons that I've been giving. You know, Justice Ginsburg, with her characteristic pithiness, used this to describe how a nominee should comport herself at a hearing. No hints, no previews, no forecasts. That had been the practice of nominees before her. But everybody calls it the Ginsburg rule because she stated it so concisely, and it's been the practice of every nominee since. So I can't, and I'm sorry to not be able to embrace or disavow Justice Scalia's position, but I really can't do that on any point of law.
She was so remarkable that Democrats kind of gave up, and they actually had some substantive exchanges. I want to salute Dick Durbin, who in 2017 asked her if she was an Orthodox Catholic. There was none of that yesterday. The anti-Catholicism is all washed off of the Democrats. They realize it's toxic. So Dick Durbin, the senator from Illinois, had a good exchange with her. I mean, really probably a model exchange for a Democrat of one party and a nominee sent forward by a president of another. Respectful and serious. This is actually the first exchange is on the Obamacare question and whether or not she has taken a position on it. Cut number 14.
Thank you for that question, Senator Durbin, because it gives me an opportunity to make my position clear. When I wrote, and this was as a law professor, about those decisions, I did critique the statutory interpretation of the majority opinions. And as I mentioned before, my description of them was consistent with the way that Chief Justice Roberts described the statutory question. But I think that your concern is that because I critiqued the statutory reasoning, that I'm hostile to the ACA. And that because I'm hostile to the ACA, that I would decide a case a particular way. And I assure you that I am not. I'm not hostile to the ACA. I'm not hostile to any statute that you pass. And the cases on which I commented, and we can talk at another time, I guess, about the context, the distinctions between academic writing and judicial decision making, but those were on entirely different issues. So to assume that because I critiqued the interpretation of the mandate or the phrase established by a state means that on the entirely different legal question of severability, I would reach a particular result, just assumes that I'm hostile. And that's not the case. I apply the law. I follow the law. You make the policy.
If you had severability on your bingo card, you won yesterday, along with hints, previews, forecast. Judge Barrett then did have an exchange about George Floyd with Dick Durbin. Cut 15.
Have you seen the George Floyd video?
I have.
What impact did it have on you?
Senator, as you might imagine, given that I have two black children, that was very, very personal for my family. Jesse was with the boys on a camping trip out in South Dakota, so I was there, and my 17-year-old daughter, Vivian, who's adopted from Haiti, all of this was erupting. It was very difficult for her. We wept together in my room, and then it was also difficult for my daughter, Juliet, who's 10. I had to try to explain some of this to them. I mean, my children to this point in their lives have had the benefit of growing up in a cocoon where they have not yet experienced hatred or violence. And for Vivian, you know, to understand that there would be a risk to her brother or the son she might have one day of that kind of brutality has been an ongoing conversation. It's a difficult one for us, like it is for Americans all over the country.
And so I'd like to ask you, as an originalist who obviously has a passion for history, I can't imagine that you could separate the two, to reflect on the history of this country. Where are we today when it comes to the issue of race? Some argue it's fine. Everything's fine, and you don't have to even teach children about the history of slavery or discrimination. Others say there's implicit bias in so many aspects of American life that we have to be very candid about and address. Others go further and say, no, it's systemic racism that's built into America, and we have to be much more pointed in our addressing it. How do you feel?
So I think it is an entirely uncontroversial and obvious statement, given, as we just talked about, the George Floyd video, that racism persists in our country. As to putting my finger on the nature of the problem, you know, whether, as you say, it's just outright or systemic racism, or how to tackle the issue of making it better, those things, you know, are policy questions. They're hotly contested policy questions that have been in the news and discussed all summer. So while, you know, as I did share my personal experience, I'm very, you know, happy to discuss the reaction our family had to the George Floyd video, giving broader statements or making, you know, broader diagnoses about the problem of racism is kind of beyond what I'm capable of doing as a judge.
That is exactly right. 100% right. The most difficult and telling moment in the hearings is that exchange. And she killed it, nailed it. Absolutely hit it out of the park. Cut number 16, her views on free speech.
Well, how about the free speech protections of the First Amendment? Why are those important?
So that minority viewpoints can't be squashed, so that it's not just the majority that can speak popular views. You don't really need the First Amendment if what you're saying is something that everybody wants to hear. You need it when people are trying to silence you.
Amen again. Then Judge Barrett with Senator Josh Hawley returned to the subject of race and spoke again about it. Cut number 17.
Let's just talk about that for just a second, if we could, when it comes to the fraught but vital issue of race and your own experience with that. You and your husband are the parents of a multiracial family.
We are.
Can you give us some sense, just in your personal experience, what that has been like for you, what that means to you, what experience you bring to the bench because of your experience as a parent in this unique context?
Well, I think I could say how it has shaped me as a person. It has certainly, you know, whenever you have a life experience, it makes you acutely aware in your interactions with other people, you know, it gives you empathy for them. I mean, the same is true of our having a son with a disability. But I want to make very clear, Senator Hawley, that while my life experiences, I think, you know, I hope have given me wisdom and compassion, they don't dictate how I decide cases. Because, you know, as we discussed before and I've discussed a couple of times, sometimes you have to decide cases in ways where you don't like the result. So while I hope that my family has made me a better person, and my children definitely have given me new perspectives on life, I still, in applying the law and deciding cases, you know, don't let those experiences dictate the outcome.
You'll follow the law wherever the law leads.
Yes.
And then the meme of the day came from cut number five, John Cornyn asking Amy Coney Barrett this. Cut number five.
You know, most of us have multiple notebooks and notes and books and things like that in front of us. Can you hold up what you've been referring to in answering our questions? Is there anything on it?
That letterhead that says United States Senate.
That's impressive. Well, Judge,
there was nothing on the notepad. Everything she did yesterday, she did without notes, without hesitation, without faltering, with great conviction, with obvious and deep sincerity. She's a marvelous nominee. She sparkled. I thought Justice Gorsuch might be the best nominee I'd ever seen, and before that, Chief Justice Roberts. Well, Amy Coney Barrett is the best nominee I've ever seen. She should get 100-0 vote. I'll be right back, America. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. A 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. Amy Coney Barrett knocking it out of the park yesterday. The Washington Post writing, this is going very well for Republicans. What's going very well for the country? Because if you're out there worried about law and lack thereof, of disorder and of chaos, and you have worries about your personal safety, you want D.C. to get organized and get smart people who are serious and composed and generous, hearted, open-minded, fair, impartial, smart. That's Amy Coney Barrett. Here she is with Senator Amy Klobuchar, who's a Democrat, talking about so-called super precedent. Cut number 18.
You also separately acknowledged that in Planned Parenthood v. Casey, the Supreme Court's controlling opinion talked about the reliance interests on Roe v. Wade, which it treated in that case as super precedent. Is Roe a super precedent?
How would you define super precedent?
I thought someday I'd be sitting in that chair. I'm not. I'm up here, so I'm asking
okay,
you.
Okay, well, people use super precedent differently.
Okay.
The way that it's used in the scholarship and the way that I was using it in the article that you're reading from was to define cases that are so well settled that no political actors and no people seriously push for their overruling. And I'm answering a lot of questions about Roe, which I think indicates that Roe doesn't fall in that category. And scholars across the spectrum say that doesn't mean that Roe should be overruled. But descriptively, it does mean that it's not a case that everyone has accepted and doesn't call for its overruling.
Here's what's interesting to me. You said that Brown is, and I know my time is running out, is a super precedent. That's something the Supreme Court has not even said, but you have said that. So if you say that, why won't you say that about Roe v. Wade, a case that the court's controlling opinion in that Planned Parenthood v. Casey case has described as a super precedent? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Well, Senator, I can just give you the same answer that I just did. I'm using a term in that article that is from the scholarly literature. It's actually one that was developed by scholars who are, you know, certainly not conservative scholars who take a more progressive approach to the Constitution. And again, you know, as Richard Fallon from Harvard said, Roe is not a super precedent because calls for its overruling have never ceased, but that doesn't mean that Roe should be overruled. It just means that it doesn't fall on the small handful of cases like Marbury versus Madison and Brown versus the board that no one questions anymore.
Is United States v. Virginia military, is that super precedent?
Senator Klobuchar, if you continue to ask questions about super precedents that aren't on the list of the super precedents that I discussed in the article that are well acknowledged in the constitutional law literature, every time you ask the question, I will have to say that I can't grade it.
Okay.
I can't grade it, and I like to grade it flunk. Here she is talking with Senator Kennedy about a tax on her family. Cut number 28, Amy Coney Barrett.
I'm going to finish this housekeeping because I want to talk about the law. I want to give you a chance to respond to something. Some butthead professor at Boston University says that because you and your husband have two children of color, that you're a white colonist. The implication is that you're a racist and that you use your two children as props. Do you use your children as props?
Senator Kenny, it was the risk of people saying things like that, which would be so hurtful to my family, that when I told Senator Graham this morning that my husband and I had to really weigh the costs of this, it was saying deeply offensive and hurtful things, things that are not only hurtful to me, but are hurtful to my children, who are my children, who we love, and who we brought home and made part of our family. And accusations like that are cruel.
Yeah, they are, aren't they? How low can you go? I didn't want to ask that question when your kids were here. I'm sorry I have to go through that.
Well, and as we all are. Good for her. Good for Senator Kennedy. Markets yesterday were all red. S&P down 22, NASDAQ down 12, the Dow Jones down 157. Gold, however, yesterday was up. That's why I tell people to go to HughGold.com, HughGold.com, or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. Birch Gold standing by to help you move part of your retirement or 401k into a physical precious metals. 10% to 25% is what I recommend. HughGold.com, HughGold.com, or text my name, Hugh, to 474747, and come right back to the Hugh Hewitt Show.
It's me, I'm not from the same slice. It's me. Where do we go?
Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. I must tell you, yesterday, Amy Coney Barrett shined, but Nancy Pelosi did not. She went on to CNN with Wolf Blitzer, the consummate professional, and she melted down. It's going to be tough to get a 14-minute interview into a 12-minute segment, but I'm going to try. Cut number 22, Nancy Pelosi on CNN yesterday.
And as you know, there are Americans who are being evicted from their homes. They can't pay the rent. Many Americans are waiting in food lines for the first time in their lives. Can you look them in the eye, Madam Speaker, and explain why you don't want to accept the president's latest stimulus offer?
Well, because thank you very much. Wolf, and I hope you'll ask the same question of the Republicans about why they don't really want to meet the needs of the American people. But let me say to those people, because all of my colleagues, we represent these people. I have for over 30 years represented my constituents. I know what their needs are. I listen to them, and their needs are not addressed in the president's proposal. So when you say to me, why don't you accept theirs? Why don't they accept ours? Our legislation is there to do three things primarily: to honor our workers, honor our heroes, our healthcare workers, our police and fire first responders, our teachers, our transportation, sanitation, food workers, the people who make our lives work. We couldn't be doing what we're doing without them. Many of them have risked their lives so that they to save lives, and now they will lose their jobs because
McConnell says that the states go bankrupt. Excuse me for interrupting.
The states go bankrupt,
Madam Speaker, but they really need the money right now. And even members of your own,
even members of your own caucus,
Madam Speaker, want to accept this deal. $1.8 trillion, Congressman Ro Khanna, let me just quote Ro Khanna, a man you know well. I assume you admire him. He's a Democrat. And he just said this. He said, people in need can't wait until February. $1.8 trillion is significant and more than twice the Obama stimulus. Make a deal. Put the ball in McConnell court. So what do you say to Ro Khanna?
What I say to you is, I don't know why you're always an apologist And many of your colleagues, apologists for the Republican position, wrote, Connor, that's nice. That isn't what we're going to do. And nobody's waiting till February. I want this very much now, because people need help now. But it's no use giving them a false thing just because the president wants to put a check with his name on it in the mail, that we should not be doing all we can to help people pay the rent, put food on the table.
Did you hear that? She accused the media of being an apologist. CNN. She accused CNN and Wolf's colleagues and Wolf of being an apologist. It was nuts. She then went on a very long ramble that made no sense at all until she came back around again. Wolf sat there very patiently, gave nothing away, didn't in any way indicate she was, you know, mad as a hatter. But eventually they got around to wrapping it up. Cut number 23.
It's unusual. With President Bush, we did this quite a bit, because that's how you negotiate. And then you take it to the president. This Mr. Mnuchin, I think he has integrity representing his position. May I finish, please? But he has integrity representing his position, but his position has no integrity. They do not share our values. Have a little respect for the fact that we know something about these subjects. And there's a big difference between Democrats and Republicans in whether they want to give a big tax cut to the wealthiest people in the country in their bill, in the CARES Act. We tried to take it out in this bill. Instead, they took out earned income tax credit, child tax credit, expanded health benefits to UI benefits to the extent that it was agreed to before.
All right.
So this is, I have every confidence in what and the arguments that we make, because it's based on science and documentation. Our chairs know their stuff. They know what they're doing, with all due respect to the kind of people you were referencing. And I welcome their enthusiasm. I welcome their interest. I welcome their originality of their thinking. But the fact is, we have a responsibility to meet the needs of the American people in a retroactive way, so they're not at a total loss. They are at a loss because the president has ignored the virus. I wish he would spend time on the fact that if he had not ignored the virus, we wouldn't be in the position we're in. But we are. And what we are. And let me say about that also, I hope that I'm pleased that these pharmaceutical companies are taking the responsible position to halt and hopefully then resume. Because we want the public to have confidence in whatever therapies or whatever vaccines come along, that they will take them.
All right.
And do people say, well, I don't trust Trump on that? If we trust the Food and Drug Administration for what they are doing, the scientists there who have been working 24/7 for months and months and months, excellent science, the science should call the shot. And when they
let's hope we should all trust it. And let's hope they get more treatments. Let's hope they get a vaccine. And Madam Speaker, I certainly respect you, but I also respect Ro Khanna. I respect Andrew Yang. I respect members of the Democrats who are members of the problem solvers. They want a deal because so many people right now
are
suffering.
Well, the problem solvers, by the way, don't have any earned income tax credit or child tax credit in their proposal either. But let's not go into that.
Yeah,
you evidently do not respect the chairman of the committees who wrote these bills.
I respect all of you.
And I wish you would respect the knowledge that goes into getting meeting the needs of the American people. But again, you've been on a jag defending the administration all this time with no knowledge of the difference between our two bills. And I thank you for giving me the opportunity to say that to you in person.
Right. Madam Speaker, these are incredibly difficult times right now. And we'll leave it on that note. Thank you so much for joining
us. Leave it on the vote that you are not right on this, Wolf. And I hate to say that to
all
you.
Right.
But I feel confident about it. And I feel confident about my colleagues. And I feel confidence in my chairs.
And it's not about me. It's about millions of Americans who can't put food on the table, who can't pay the rent.
And
we
represent them. And we represent them.
Getting by these long food lines.
And we represent them.
I know you are.
We know them.
I'm just saying.
We represent them and we know them.
As we say.
We know them. We represent them.
Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good, as they say here in
Washington. It is nowhere near perfect.
Madam Speaker.
Always the case, but we're not even close to the good.
All right, let's see what happens, because every day is critically, critically important. Thanks so much
for
joining us.
Thank you for your sensitivity to our constituents' needs.
I am sensitive to them, because I see them on the street begging for food, begging for money. Madam Speaker, thank you so much.
Have you fed them? We feed them. We feed them.
We'll continue this conversation.
She's crazy. She's just crazy. She cannot take a hint of criticism. Her own caucus is rebelling, and she's crazy. And they won't let Joe Biden out to make the argument, because he can't even be coherently crazy. Donald Trump was in Johnstown, Pennsylvania last night making his argument. Cut 31.
This election is a simple choice. If Biden wins, China wins, all these other countries win, we get ripped off by everybody. If we win, you win, Pennsylvania wins, and America wins. Very simple.
He was in Pennsylvania, and he hit Biden where Biden doesn't like to get hit in Pennsylvania. Cut 32.
But think of it. You know, you talk about politicians. No fracking for a year and a half, right? And then he goes to Pennsylvania and says, no, there'll be fracking. Like nothing happened. Can you imagine if I did that? No fracking. I'm the opposite, by the way. No fracking. Then you win and you go, you know, got to go a little to the other direction, a little bit to the right, although he actually went further left, which is sort of an amazing thing. But all of a sudden, he comes out in favor of fracking. And let me tell you, it's always the first thing that turns out to be true, okay? They will lose, you will lose in Pennsylvania a million jobs. There will be no petroleum products. There will be no fracking whatsoever. And did you see his party now is really angry at him because he's saying maybe there'll be fracking? It's a very conditional, you know, it's a very weak. But with me, you're going to frack.
Yeah, you're going to frack. I mean, this is so clear. They are trying to protect their Democrats are trying to project that they'll be reasonable on fracking. They're anti-fracking. They're anti the combustion engine. They're anti-fossil fuels. It's that simple. Meanwhile, back, you know, when the speaker went crazy with Wolf, they had to send out the cleanup team. And they send the cleanup team, Chuck Schumer, to MSNBC. That's my network, to sit down with Chris Hayes to do a little repair damage, but it doesn't work out so well. Cut number 29.
The president's all over the place. Here's how I understand it. The president is all over the place and doesn't have the attention span to concentrate on this for more than 5 minutes. Mitch McConnell's caucus hates the idea of passing a big rescue bill. And the House wants one. But the thing I can't quite understand is it seemed like there was a tentative deal at, say, $1.8 trillion between the White House and Mnuchin and the speaker. And the speaker was on CNN today basically saying, like, no, it's not good enough. And that strikes a lot of people as a little nuts. Like, if that were the deal, wouldn't you all take it?
That strikes a lot of people as a lot of nuts, Chris. But at least Chris got the honest reaction out there. Meanwhile, Joe Biden, boy, oh boy, Joe Biden at a senior speech yesterday, cut 24.
If we do not, and no drug company has the capacity to do it, if we do not find an answer to Alzheimer's, within the next 19 years, every single solitary bed that exists in the United States of America now will be occupied by an Alzheimer's patient.
Do you know, that's so crazy. I mean, crazy yesterday was everywhere. Maisie Hirono wins the gold medal for crazy. Cut number 19.
And we know that Black and Native women are 2 to 3 times more likely to die than white women from pregnancy-related cases, that Americans could lose coverage for essential health benefits like prescription drugs and mental health care, that young adults will no longer be able to stay on their parents' health insurance plan until age 26 at a time when our country is dealing with massive job losses. So in my view, there you have posed an artificial distinction between policy considerations that's left up to us and following the law, because if your criticism of Justice Roberts' decision in upholding the Affordable Care Act, if that was something that he followed, he would have struck down the Affordable Care Act. That is your, you know, if he followed your criticism of him in sustaining the Affordable Care Act, he would have struck it down. So I would conclude that your approach is, in fact, not like that of Justice Ginsburg, who did care about what would happen. Let me just tell you one story of a person who will be impacted in the real world if the Affordable Care Act is struck down. And I know that so many of my colleagues have already established that the president expects you to strike down the Affordable Care Act.
I must tell you, that made no sense at all. Breaking news, front page of the New York Post, Biden's secret emails. There is a bombshell. Hunter Biden introduced Burisma to his father, the vice president, and the Post has the emails. More on that next hour. In the meantime, let me tell you about ReliefFactor.com. These hearings are easier for me to listen to them and walk than to watch. So I did 8 miles yesterday after the show. Didn't run yesterday. I walked because I wanted to listen to the hearings. And NPR's got the best radio feed, by the way. Some of these stations do not carry it. So if you want uninterrupted coverage, you just go to NPR. I want you to stay on our stations for commentary. But if you've got to hear the hearings, and by the way, some of it's incoherent. I teach con law, so I love it. And it's must watch. It's like the NFL Super Bowl for me. But I took my Relief Factor. I'm taking it right now with my lukewarm coffee. What I wanted, though, the one question I wanted someone to ask I may ask Lindsey Graham, who's coming up to pose it, is how in the world do the college football playoffs let Notre Dame in 2018 and not Ohio State? I think I'd like to ask her, put her on the record about that. But I'll be listening to it all as I'm out walking after the show today. I'm able to do that. I can go 10 miles today if I have to because of ReliefFactor.com. And you need to get on that plan like tens of thousands of other Americans, ReliefFactor.com. Welcome back, America. Next hour, I will bring you the entirety of the breaking news story. Hunter Biden introduced his father, Vice President Joe Biden, to a top executive at a Ukrainian energy firm less than a year before Vice President Biden pressured government officials in Ukraine into firing a prosecutor who was investigating the company. There are other things in the pilfered emails of Hunter Biden that I will discuss with you next hour. It's at the New York Post. If you go to my Twitter feed, you can find the link. But right now, I want to talk with Alfredo Ortiz, who is the president and CEO of the Job Creators Network. The Job Creators Network is a sponsor of this show, and we are helping them help you vote via KeepAmericaAmerica.com. Good morning, Alfredo. How are you?
Hey, Hugh. Good morning. I am doing fantastic. Love the hearing so far.
Oh, aren't they? She's amazing. She's remarkable, and she will be confirmed.
Unbelievable. I was just talking to Dwayne. Yeah, it should be 100-0, but we know it's not going to be, unfortunately.
Alfredo, I've been telling people about KeepAmericaAmerica.com every hour for 3 or 4 weeks. I think we're over 400,000 people now. We want 1 million. How goes the campaign to get people out to vote? We are the opposite of voter suppression. We want people to vote.
Yeah, absolutely. It is going great, Hugh. And we got to remember, right, elections are not won by millions. They're won by thousands. I keep reminding folks in 2016, it was a site, 11,000 votes in Michigan, 23,000 in Wisconsin, 44,000 in Pennsylvania. So every single vote counts. And we want people to get out there. We want people to use early voting as much as possible.
Now, what happens when they go to KeepAmericaAmerica.com, Alfredo?
Yeah, it's really easy. You sign up, you'll get an email from us, has the most up-to-date voting information in your zip code. And I have to tell you, and it's changing all the time, but we're using some of the most sophisticated and up-to-date information, trusted sources that you can truly, truly rely on. You'll be sent reminders on tasks that can make a difference in November, helping others to also maybe go to the voting booths or letting them know where to go or what to do there. We'll make it as easy for you to recruit friends and family, office co-workers, church members, I mean, anyone else that you know and you can think of. Will also be demonstrating on there why truly pro-growth policies are the way to go and why that is what we need to be voting for. Because, Hugh, as you know, everything, the future of our country truly and the very way of our life currently is at stake. And it is about security. It's about our personal, economic, and health security. All of this is at risk, and that's why we created this website, KeepAmericaAmerica.com, encouraging others to go to it. And encouraging their friends to go to it as well.
Now, early in-person voting is already underway in Arizona and Michigan, Georgia and Ohio. There are other places. Right. It's in Virginia. I have already voted myself in Virginia because people don't want to deal with lines. We saw some pictures out of Georgia this week. And of course, the commentary was how dare there be lines? Well, if everyone turns up early like they want to in order to be socially distanced, there are going to be some lines where they're not expected. Nevertheless, we still believe in early in-person voting because the lines on we're going to have big out. I think we're going to have an enormous show at the polls. I think a lot of people are concerned about their personal safety. This is a very personal election. They're right. concerned about violence. They're concerned about getting their job back. They're concerned about the virus. They're concerned about they want President Trump reelected. So you give details, I believe, about where to go for in-person early voting at KeepAmericaAmerica.com.
That's right, Hugh. That's right. That's right. Yeah. And like you said, everything truly is at stake. I know we always say almost every 2 years is the most consequential election of our lifetime. Hugh, this truly is the most consequential election of our lifetime. We know what the left is going to bring. If they get voted in with a Green New Deal, higher taxes, public option. I mean, you know, for Biden, his new tagline should be read my lips, all new taxes. Yeah. We know what's going to hit trillions of dollars in new taxes. Small business owners in particular are going to get hit hard, Hugh. When I looked at that economic plan, I mean, it is going to hit small business owners. That tax increase is going to hit them hard.
Now, there are some key Senate races, Maine, Susan Collins, North Carolina, Tom Tillis. They right. were behind. I think they're now both ahead. We have Lindsey Graham coming up on the show. I think he's ahead and never has been behind. Martha McSally is neck and neck. I mean, it's tied. Cory Gardner yeah. has to call back. But KeepAmericaAmerica.com isn't partisan. It will take anyone and help anyone get to the polls, whether they're in a key Senate race or not.
That's correct. That's correct. And yes, in those particular Senate races, Collins in particular, I think, is looking a lot better now. She's done so much for Maine, quite frankly. I would find that hard to believe that anything happens there other than that. You know, Mitch McConnell's having a little bit of a tough time, too, though, as you know.
You know, Kentucky, I'm on in Louisville and Lexington. I don't know when Kentucky starts early voting. I'm still pretty confident he wins by double digits, given his debate performance the other night. The one that is difficult, I think, is going to be we need everybody in Arizona. I mean, literally everybody in Arizona to vote.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, and Hugh, Georgia as well. As you said, Georgia just opened up early voting on Monday. I know they had a couple of hiccups. In Fulton County, there they have this big Allstate State Arena, I believe, that's opened it up to all of Fulton County to try to take care of some of that. But, Georgia is definitely another state as well.
David Perdue needs every vote, you betcha. Alfredo, good to talk to you, my friend. Job Creators Network sponsor of this show and of KeepAmericaAmerica.com. Go sign up, do a little, do a lot, but do something to get the vote out. The largest conservative vote get out vote effort ever. And it's thanks to Alfredo and the Job Creators Network. Don't go anywhere, America. Hour number two on day number three of the Amy Coney Barrett hearings continues on the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. A 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.